on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Vancilolo.
Cody, we have a game tonight at Hilton. I already know in our podcast discussion, you said you're heading over there after class. So how are you feeling about tonight's game?
I think this should be another game where, like, I mean, I looked at the spread for this game, and Iowa State is a double-digit favorite. Now, like, I think there's one thing I don't like is, like, these high, like, double-digit numbers. So, like, it's really misleading. And, I mean, again, I get why, because you look at the two teams, Iowa State and Colorado, and you could tell it's night and day between these two teams. But, again, like, Colorado is coming off their first Big 12 win, so they're going to be riding high. And, I mean, they've lost to Iowa State twice, once in Maui and once in Boulder at the beginning of conference season. So, Colorado, they may want to get, like, their lick back on Iowa State, and they would have a fair thing. So that's going to play into it. But I just think Colorado, how they look, I mean, they're finally getting that win. But they played a pretty bad UCF team. And UCF, they haven't looked good this year. So you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt.
Right.
And yeah, it is a Tuesday. It's midweek. But I think Iowa State, like, after that game on Saturday, I mean, they're going to still have things to work on. And they get another opportunity to do so against Colorado before they travel down to Houston on Saturday. The number one thing that we talked about on our last show was turnovers. So this will be a really good opportunity for Iowa State to really take care of the basketball and work on taking care of the basketball.
Definitely. Now, with that conversation, let's look into more of this roster and see possibly what looms for Iowa State, at least with what the Buffaloes have. All right, so we're going to look deep into this roster. Julian Hammond III is their main scorer, averaging 13.1 points per game. He averages 42% from the field, 90% free throw line, 39%. Free throw shooter, so he's a solid player. He's going to be the guy that's going to be the main catalyst for them. And then another, we'll look at two other guys. We're going to look at Andre Jakimowski, averaging 9.9 points per game, 4 rebounds. He shoots 30% from the field, 31% from three. And then lastly, we have Elijah Malone, the center that averages 8 points per game. 75% free throw shooter, 58% from the field, and 23% from three. So, obviously, I'm not going to tell you now. I don't really have that much analysis in this game. And from the last game, I'm going to ask you, is there anything that worries you? Because I know it was a grinder in Boulder. For last time, that was a few months ago, I think, when we played Colorado.
Yeah, it was the beginning of conference play. It was December. It was a Monday at like 8 p.m. In Boulder in high elevation. And I think we mentioned on the preview for that matchup in Boulder, Colorado, that elevation played a bit of a factor. And I think it did. And Iowa State, at one point, they were looking a little gassed when Colorado went on their run to really keep it, like, within reach. Iowa State was eventually able to pull away and win that game by double digits. So I think it's just Iowa State did a great job in that game to take care of things. And, I mean, last time they played, Iowa State only had 9 turnovers versus forcing 19 against Colorado. So, and it was that matchup. And then looking at the other matchup, Iowa State turned the first matchup was in Maui, so we go from Boulder, Colorado to Maui. Iowa State turned the ball over 10 times versus forcing 18 turnovers on Colorado. So between those two games, it looks like a trend where Iowa State is taking care of the basketball and forcing Colorado into a lot of turnovers and getting a lot of points in transition for the Cyclones as a result. So I think if that trend continues, this is again, this is going to play well into Iowa State's hands because number one, they have done a great job of turning Colorado over and not turning the ball over against them. But also, this will really help Iowa State grow as a team and get them out of that like really, really good tier into that elite tier, because that's turnovers have been the one thing that has really kept Iowa State from being in the elite tier with the Auburn, Duke, Florida, and Alabama with those teams. So it's another opportunity. This is a good opportunity for the guys to take care of the basketball, like I mentioned earlier, and just overall really wanted to see Iowa State run like their offense, really get out in transition and lock down Colorado and really take care of their bodies before they head to Houston on Saturday.
Definitely. This is a game, I think, where you just got to take control of this early and force your will, like, or impose your will on this team, because they're 1-13. Obviously, they're feeling good because they just came off their thing, but hey, do not give them any type of hope. Like that Hawkeye meme. Don't give me hope. Don't give them any type of Hawkeye hope. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, like, do you have any like three keys to this game that you think are key for Iowa State to, I'll say, cover the spread?
Yeah, that's pretty huge. But for Iowa State, really, it just comes down to the big thing I really want to focus on is taking care of the basketball and forcing turnovers. So they'll kind of go together. Obviously, you want to really keep building that team chemistry with Milan back. So really just get that ball movement going, and then obviously enforce your will and set the paint with DeSean Jackson, Joshua Jefferson, and Brenton Chatfield. So, I mean, when these teams met, you saw Joshua Jefferson and DeSean Jackson impose their will. So did Brenton Chatfield in Boulder when Brenton Chatfield had those 7 offensive rebounds. So I think it's another good opportunity for the bigs to really impose their dominance and really control the paint.
Definitely. Yeah, I think we both have Iowa State winning big. So we're not going to do any score predictions for this one. But now we're going to look at the matchup that looms large this week for Iowa State. We're going to look at this Iowa State Houston game, man. Like this is a game that, you know, maybe we thought at the beginning of the year, we thought that this was probably going to be for the conference like it was last year. Unfortunately, we had some losses along the way, but I mean, this right here is an opportunity for the Cyclones to finish strong. And hey, you get a win over Houston. Like right now, Iowa State is just playing for seeding right now. But hey, maybe they can play themselves if they win this game on Saturday. Maybe this could be a route to maybe getting a number one seed. But we're going to look and take a deeper dive into Houston's roster. They have a whole bunch of ballers, man. So I'm really, really excited to dive deep into this. All right. So there are 4 players that we're going to look at that are going to be the main focus for Iowa State. We have LJ Cryer, who I believe has been a 3 or 4 year starter for them, averaging 14.3 points. We have Emmanuel Sharp, who has just been clutched the entire year. Jawan Roberts, averaging 11.6 points per game, but he has been solid this year. He's been much more of a scorer this year. And then Milos Uzan, who was the leading scorer in Saturday's game against Arizona. Mm-hmm. So with you, man, like what kind of problem does Houston pose for the Cyclones?
Houston plays a very like similar style of defense to Iowa State. They're going to be all up in your face. They're going to force turnovers, and they're going to score in transition. So that's kind of where the big concern is when it comes to Houston. Because like with the turnovers we had against Cincinnati, if we do that against Houston, Houston's going to do a much better job at scoring in transition and playing much better defense. But yeah, you mentioned LJ Cryer. Him and Jamal Shedd last year, that was a good like 1-2 duo for the Cougars. And obviously with Jamal Shedd going to the NBA, I was early on the season, I was like, who's going to really, is LJ Cryer ready to take that leap in his role? And it looks like he has. And then alongside Emmanuel Sharp, he's had himself some pretty good games early in the conference season, and he continues to provide great minutes for the Cougars. And then Juwan Roberts has had a couple of games where he shined. I mean, he shined that double overtime win at Kansas when he was just, he couldn't miss, basically.
Yeah. Like,
he was the one guy.
As well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those two guys were really just all over the place on Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. And then Uzon, you mentioned, he was huge for that, for Arizona. Obviously, he was the leading scorer. He was 75% from the field. So, I mean, Houston's got great contributions all over the place. And they play balanced basketball. They're doing it on both sides of the court, getting great shots up on offense and then getting great stops on defense. So, I think with Houston, I think it's just going to come down to, are we able to really match their physicality? I have no doubts we're going to match their physicality, but the question is, are we going to be able to take care of the basketball? And if we do that, can we force Houston into some turnovers and then we can convert on those? So I think it just comes to the Iowa State-Houston matchup will come down to who can force more turnovers and who can capitalize off of them. And also, who can be more physical in the paint and get those second chance points.
I'm gonna go to football real quick. It's gonna be the Matt Campbell mantra for this year: who can stay tougher for longer? Because even if you have a lead on Houston, if anything, Houston has had the heart of a champion this year, man. Houston has even in times where, like, they went on a huge run to win the Arizona game. They were down by like 7, and they came. They outscored them like 14. Or 17 something to end the on a run to end that game, and like as you saw in the Kansas game earlier this year at Allen Fieldhouse, they were down by 6. It was also an ultimate fumbling by KU, but like the fact that they even got that shot off and then were able to have the wherewithal to have that same intensity and toughness in overtime. This is really gonna be. I was just gonna have to earn this thing, man. So this is going to be opportunity to be a game of the year in this conference, man. And I'm really, really excited to see what happens. And like for our bigs, man, what a challenge. What a challenge to play the defending regular season conference champions. And I mean, the fact what we did to them in Kansas City, and the fact that we have like at least from a talent standpoint, more talented bigs. I'm excited to see what Joshua Jefferson and what DeSean Jackson can do against Juwan Roberts and probably Joseph Tugwe, because Tugwe is probably going to be a guy who's going to be banging on the glass with those guys and with Brant Chatfield. So these bigs matchups are going to be something that I'm looking forward to.
Same here. And obviously you're going to have the pomp and circumstance with College Game Day going to Houston. So that is going to be something to look out for. I mean, the spotlight's going to be on Houston, Iowa State. So no doubt we're going to get a big audience for that.
Yeah. And then with that being said, I want to look into more of the, oh yeah. Well, first we're going to both do our three keys to victory in this game. So, Cody, you go first, and then I'll finish this off.
Yeah, for Iowa State to be able to pull off the upset at Fertitta Center, number one, you're going to have to be more physical on the glass. Like, you got to get those second chance points and really get those second opportunities, so that'll be able to push you over the edge. Number two is you got to limit turnovers. I mean, we've been harping on this for a while. It's been an issue. So that's something that Iowa State's got to work on. And I mean, they'll have an opportunity to work on it tonight, obviously, before they head to Houston Saturday. But limiting those turnovers will limit Houston's opportunities to get out of transition. And you can say defense. And then number three is just handling that atmosphere, like Fertitta Center. Like, I mean, last time Iowa State played the Fertitta Center, they were the best team to compete against Houston. They were the only team that really put up any sort of fight against them. So I think if they can replicate a performance like that, they can not only keep the game competitive, but also might be able to pull off the win with the talent that we have this year.
Catch the ball, get in there, and then Joshua Jefferson has been Mr. Consistency all year for us. This year, this game, definitely we can use him on the offensive side. And then my second point is to, make, if the shots are there, make smart shots. If you're feeling it and within a rhythm, shoot it. And then the third one I'm going to say is be disciplined. We've said it and been harping on it the last few episodes of this podcast is take care of the basketball. If anything we've seen from Iowa State, when you take care of the basketball, good things happen. Like, we're hard to beat when we take care of the basketball. Now, and that will, and I think, like we said, the turnovers thing for us the last few games have been more of a discipline thing, so play discipline and make timely shots, and I think that is a recipe to an upset and winning at Fertitta, which has been very hard to do the last 2 years.
Yep.
All right. Yep. With that being said, let's go look at the slate from yesterday. You look at this, and everybody thought that K-State was a team that was going to go on a run, but man, it was ugly. Ugly, yeah. ugly. We're going to get that right there real quick. Yeah. Man, what are the chances? It's, man, 74-69, dog. How did this happen? Like, how?
I mean, this was a game where, like, yeah, and you look at, like, the box score. I'm looking at the box score right now. Utah only shot 15%, like, 16% from three compared to 44% for Kansas State. But look at the rebound numbers. That'll tell you a lot of the story. Utah outclassed Kansas State 51-28, and that included 21 offensive rebounds. So those second-chance points were really – or second-chance opportunities were killing Kansas State, and that's why they can – yeah, you can't allow that. Like, if you're wanting to win this game, you cannot be allowing 20 plus offensive rebounds.
Yeah, and then Coleman Hawkins had a pedestrian game, and Devin Gessen had a pedestrian game. But like you said, like, they were soft on the boards. When you get killed on the boards, man, like, you're not gonna have a chance to compete at all. Like, it looks like they gave up and stuff, and it's honestly really making me question, man, how the hell did we lose to this team?
We caught him at the wrong time, because obviously they were on a streak, and then we didn't have our spacing, so we caught him at a really bad time. So I mean, that's one factor. Obviously, they did, like, what they did to us is what Utah just did to them, right? Where it was the effort. So I mean, that's basically what it is. Not much else to say. I mean, Kansas State, after having won like six straight, I believe, including four AP top 25 wins, they've now lost two straight, and I think they're going to be right back, like, outside the I haven't seen the bubble watch, but I think I've seen, like, probably in the latest let me take a look at the latest bracketology from Joe Lunardi.
Yeah.
And I mean, he has Kansas State as the next four out, and this was as of this morning. So those two losses have clearly played a factor into them. Like, Kansas State have finally gotten back into the bubble, but now they're back, like, kind of on the outside of it looking in.
Yeah, I mean, and, you look at their last five games now, I feel like if you lose, the only acceptable loss right now is if you lose to Iowa State on March 8th. But I feel like if you drop any other one of these games, like, it's definitely going to be considered in the eyes of the committee an unacceptable loss. Plus, you're probably going to have to win at least two games in Kansas City and make a run in Kansas City, or maybe be a bid stealer and win the whole thing. But, like, with the way they're playing, I don't know if you really can trust this team to make any type of run.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. I mean, they have a favorable stretch before obviously hitting Iowa State, so that's going to be huge. So for Kansas State, went out, and then they got to get a couple of wins.
Yep.
Yeah. And then give me a second. I got something to take care of.
Sure. And right now we're also going to look at Cody. Cody is taking care of something. I'm going to look at the other results from the other game. So we had Arizona with a huge win on the road at Baylor. Toby Walker had 14 points. He was the leading scorer, and VJ Edgecombe was the leading scorer for the Baylor Bears. So we're going to look and do a deeper dive into this one. So really the key in this game was Arizona slightly out-rebounded the Bears 37-31. Otherwise, it was a very, very close game. Arizona was able to hit more free throws at the end. Offensive rebounds, the rebounding numbers are very, very close. The key was that, you know, getting Baylor actually had more points off turnovers, but Arizona was able to hit key shots when they were able to execute. So, good win by the Wildcats on the road. And as we go, we're going to also look at some of the national results from Tuesday. Okay, we're going to do that, change it to national. All right, we're looking at it national-wise. There wasn't really that much action at all yesterday. Duke getting a huge win on the road at Virginia. Cooper Flagg, the leading scorer, with 17 points. And really, a lot of other scores. One of another notable score, Northern Iowa goes on the road at Murray State. Steve Prohm led Murray State and went on the road and had a nice 7-point win over Murray State. Trey Campbell leading the way with 21 points. But let's look at tonight's slate. So tonight, we do have some more profile matchups. We have Villanova going on the road at UConn. UConn has been struggling, but they are a 8.5-point favorite, and they are playing this game in Hartford. So it's a neutral site game. But we do have some nice matchups in the SEC. We have Florida trying to continue their winning ways, playing at the O Center out in Gainesville, hosting Oklahoma at 6. We have two ranked matchup in the Big Ten and the SEC. We have both coming on at 6:00. So we have Texas A&M at Mississippi State, and then Purdue going on the road to East Lansing to the Breslin Center at Michigan State. So if you want to watch it and tune in, those can be found on the SEC Network and Peacock. We also have Syracuse and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has been on the struggle bus lately, but they are a 10.5-point favorite at home over Syracuse. And we also have Illinois going on the road to the Kohl Center at Wisconsin and Madison. So that's going to be a big, big matchup for Illinois. Some other notable Big 12 games tonight. We also have Texas Tech going on the road to Fort Worth to face TC. We have Butler and Xavier. And we also have Houston going on the road to Arizona State. So that should be interesting. And also Seton Hall getting a huge win against UConn. They go to Fiserv and are on the road in Milwaukee to face Marquette. We also have Kansas finishing their Utah trip, going on the road to Provo at BYU. So that will round out Tuesday night slate. We're also going to take a look at Wednesday night. And Wednesday night, there's not really that many other matchups. We have Vanderbilt going on the road to Rupp Arena to play Kentucky. And that's really the most notable game on the schedule. Bradley and Illinois State is also an interesting matchup. The War on I-74. as I like to call it. But we do have a ranked matchup. We have Alabama going to Columbia, going to Como to face Mizzou. So that one should be interesting. That one's going to be on SEC Network. That one comes on at 8 o'clock. New Mexico, after having a huge win at home at Utah State on Sunday, they go on the road to Boise and play Boise State. So let's see if they can continue their winning ways. So that's a look at the schedule. And we also have St. John's going to Wintrust Arena in Chicago to play the Blue Demons. So I think that we're going to wrap it up today. As always, thank you guys for listening to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. We are always thankful for your support. Here are a few shameless plugs. As always, we can be found on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those. Also, we continue for the continued support from Iowa listeners. As you know, BeatSpot has nominated this podcast as a top 15 sports podcast in the state of Iowa. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for everywhere around the world and across the U.S. for listening. And as always, we can be found on our 5 forms of social media. Can be found at Believe in Iowa State, BLEAV. These 5 forms of social media are YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. So for Tyler Carter and Cody Van Seelum, this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones.